Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If you'll open your bulletins, looks like there's a lot going on in the next several months. Any announcements from anyone? Carrie? Yes, one service starting at 9:30. Is that 11? Yes. Any first-time visitors? Yeah, I think it looks like... Yes. Oh, you have one. Yeah. Jasmine?
Okay. Well, it worked. And work some more. Thank you.
Well, welcome. Okay. Any additions or deletions to the prayer list? Anyone else?
Thank you.
prepare ourselves for, bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Call to worship this morning is responsive. If you'll open your bulletins. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on heaven and the earth? Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand now. Turn to hymn 18. 18.
This prayer, I want you to participate, at least with your thinking. All that you have that would prompt you to offer praise to the Lord. And even sickness. We've mentioned many concerns this morning. And that we have a God that we can go to and ask for help. And He's promised to help us. Not always according to what we think is best, but according to what He knows to be best. thankful that I am not one of those who has never known God. So I'm thankful to God that He sent people to tell me about Him. He gave us a Bible that we could search and learn more about Him. We would not only learn about Him, that we'd just come to know Him. Lord God, You have called us to praise You. We have so much to praise You for. Lord, for Your greatness, Your power. Lord, for Your goodness. Lord, for Your mercy. For Your care and concern. For Your help in time of need. Lord, for Your strength. For Your righteousness. Lord, for Your Word. And for Your Son. The Word made flesh. We've heard the call. We have come. We've been called to focus even after we arrived. Lord, thank You for the privilege of singing to You. Free our voices that it might be a joyful noise unto You. Enable us to give praise and glory. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May we remain standing and express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Time in the service when we're confessing our sins. Our call to confession. All of us who have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Prayer to confession in unison. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love. According to Your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against You, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may prove right when you speak and justify when you judge. Cleanse me of my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity, creating me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Forgiveness. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Amen.
Turn the hymns again, please, to hymn 81. What a wonderful Savior. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Christ has forsaken atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior.
Where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, He does. the very same God that's been sent into orbit. He runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hand that hold me when I'm broken. They conquered death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer, He lives. I know my Redeemer, He lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life He gave. But now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. As I know my Redeemer, He creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. Because of Him I can face tomorrow.
By expressing our thanks to God is giving a portion of what He's given us in return. Offertory of this sentence this morning is, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, saith the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The usher, come forward.
scripture today is Romans 10:5-13 and Ephesians 2:1-10. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord, and all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on him, the name of the Lord will be saved. Ephesians 2:1-10. As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sin, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, in rich mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raises us up with Christ and seated us with him on the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this, not from yourselves, is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
John 3:16, says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have eternal life. John 3:16, says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have eternal life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. So put your faith in Jesus Christ, and your soul will never die. You'll never die, you'll have eternal life. You'll have eternal life. You'll have eternal life. Forever and ever, you'll have eternal life. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have eternal life. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never die, but have eternal life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. So put your faith in Jesus Christ, and your soul will never die. You'll never die, have eternal life. Forever and ever, you'll have eternal life. Forever and ever, you'll have eternal life. Forever and ever.
Eternal life.
Three
referred to as being saved? It's referred to as being a disciple of Jesus? Being saved. A man by the name of Haynes, David Haynes, wrote a little tract. I was in the waiting room of a hospital in Jackson, Mississippi, and a lady came through and stuck some tracts around in the obvious spots in the waiting room, and so I wanted to see what she was doing. Inquisitive minds want to know. So I went over and picked up one of the tracts, and it was rather crude in that somebody had taken the tract and put it on a copy machine and copied it. But it still contained the message of salvation. And the thrust of it was, it's simple to be saved. And if you'll type in the internet, Google it, as they say, and you can type in, it's simple to be saved. Does it have 1, 2, 3, or AB? No, track 101, ABC. Something will come up, something like that. And then you can click to go to the next page and click to go to the next page if you like. Well, I picked that up and brought it home, and when we started thinking about evangelism, or I started thinking about evangelism and in a serious way, and we've talked about it. This is the fourth Sunday in this month. Our denominational General Assembly urged each church to get involved in evangelism like we haven't been before in a long time, at least. So I remembered this little tract, and I pulled it out and went over it, and the tract said, it's simple to be saved. So I'm giving credit to the organization that puts out the tract, and I'm giving credit to the name that's at the bottom of it. It's a good sermon. So I'm sharing someone else's outline with you, but it's personal to me. And it's hopefully personal to God. Romans 10, and then Ephesians 2. Two passages of Scripture that you've heard. Both of them talk about the mercy of God or the grace of God. What do I hope to accomplish? It's a little more than taking up time or fulfilling my responsibility as the minister. But I hope to help you understand how to become a disciple of Jesus, especially if you have not yet trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Or, put it another way, as I've already said, there's numerous ways to express what we're talking about when we talk about salvation. Help a person understand how to be saved from their sin. And the second step is to help people know how to lead someone else to be a disciple of Jesus. Salvation is simple. Or it's simple to be saved, but it was not cheap. It's still not cheap. It cost to be saved. It cost God. It cost God His Son. Think of that. It cost God His Son for us to be saved. And it cost Jesus, the Son, it cost Him His life. He had to suffer and then die to pay for our sins. The soul that sinneth, the person that sins, shall die unless somebody dies in our place. And Jesus was the one that was qualified to die in our place because he was without sin. It cost Jesus his life, and because of Jesus' death and resurrection, death did not hold him. He overcame death. God raised him up from the dead. He paid the penalty for our sin. Salvation, eternal life, is available to all. That's one of the reasons that there is a Cumberland Presbyterian Church rather than a Presbyterian Church. The reason that they got the name Cumberland. Some people in the Cumberland country, southern, south central Kentucky, I guess they would maybe even call it western Kentucky, but western Kentucky is way over there at Mayfield in place, around Logan County, Kentucky, just north of Nashville, north of Clarksville. People there began to preach as they understood the Bible to say that salvation was for all. Because John 3:16 said, whosoever believes, not just a few, or not just the elect. So because of what Christ did, salvation or eternal life is available to all. Available to all, we said. Salvation is not dependent upon our education. So it's not just available to those who are highly educated. And there are people in the world, they've been around for centuries. They're called the Gnostics. And they believe and they proclaim that the more you can know through your knowledge, you can attain eternal life with God. That's not what the Bible says. And if education or much learning was the only route to salvation or the route to salvation, some people would be excluded. Because even in this congregation, we have people at different levels in their educational process. We have some that have not started the school yet. I think she's in the nursery, or maybe just started. What grade? Then we have some middle school, high school, one here hadn't started yet, and maybe one early level of school, some high school, and then going up. And at the next service, there'll be a PhD here. There may be one here. Doctor of philosophy in a certain field. Education is not what it takes to be saved, because some people would be left out. Moral perfection. I still remember the testimony of a man in the first church that I attempted to pastor. His testimony was, I heard it more than once, but it was a good testimony. At one time I was merely a good moral man, and then I became a believer in Christ, a spiritual person. He was trying to be good enough or be morally straight enough to get into heaven, but he couldn't. Nobody else can. No one would make it if moral perfection, because if we miss the point or if we disobey in one law, we're guilty of all. And then wealth. Wealth does not guarantee us a place in heaven. It won't even give us a place in heaven. Because, see, some would be left out. All cannot be wealthy and get into heaven. So none can get into heaven on their wealth. Their education, their moral, good moral life? Are there wealth? There are many other things that we might look at that some people try to use to get into heaven. And when it's so simple, God has made salvation available to all on the basis of personal faith. And even a child can experience personal faith. And Jesus stressed this, the importance of children in the kingdom of God, when he took the children upon his lap and blessed them. And the youngest person here can put their faith in Jesus. And the oldest person here can put their faith in Jesus if they have not. On God's playing field, if you want to call it a playing field, or on God's living field, where we live, some of us act like it's all a playing field, but some of us, all of us are more serious than that, are we not? Someone put it, everyone is seen on the same level in the eyes of God. Everyone is seen on the same level in the eyes of God. And all must come on the same terms. Romans 3, 8 and 9. There was some question among the Roman Christians, or the Christians living in Rome. And Paul wrote to them, let's hear Romans 3. What did I say? 9 and 10. What then? Are we better than they? The people he's been talking about in the previous chapter, the guilty, the sinful, the unsaved. Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged, he's already explained, that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And there was this argument going on whether a Gentile or a Greek could become Christian without first becoming a Jewish proselyte and going through the process of becoming a devoted Jew or a committed Jew. And Paul says, we've already discussed that. But then he, in verse 10, it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. None. So we all stand guilty before God when it really comes down to it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which is right there before you. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then in Romans, the last line of the passage printed for you from Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I started out saying it's simple to be saved. Mr. Haynes wrote the little track about it. How simple is it? He gives us 7 points. He says it's as simple as entering the door. Well, he's quoting Scripture when he says that, or referring to Scripture. It's as simple as entering the door. How many doors or gates? The word up here says gate. King James says door. NIV says gate. And we kind of refer to the NIV or using that most of the time in our Scripture lessons. How many gates or how many doors have you been through this morning already? Walked up and opened the door. Well, you came into the door of the church. Somebody may have opened it for you. Sometimes they open it and just pass right on through. And then you came into the door of the sanctuary. That's 3 doors if you came in from this way. 2, and then you came through some doorways if you came through the old building, as we call it, the gym, and came this way. And then we came through the double doors here. Simple as entering the door. Jesus said, John 10, 9, and the first part of it, 9a we call it, I am the gate, or I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he's referring to being the good shepherd. And he was using a pastoral scene to talk about eternal experience or eternal principle. Talking about salvation. And he illustrated it with, like, the sheep coming into through the gate or through the door. And he said, anyone who enters through me, Jesus speaking of himself, will be saved. There are gates to pastures. You may have gone out to feed the animals this morning, the goat or the sheep or the cows. There's the door to the barn. There's the door to the house. There's the door to the garage. Then there's the door to the church. Doors that you have already passed through this morning. Have you passed through the door of Jesus Christ? Have you opened that aspect of the Christian faith? Have you claimed Jesus? Then he said, it's as simple as opening the door, trusting in Jesus. It's as simple as calling for help. Romans 10:13. We've read it. We've already quoted it once. But Paul the Apostle said, everyone, or anyone, everyone, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's the Lord's name? The Lord's name is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Lord of creation. Was there with God at creation. Was God at creation. Became man. Came to earth. Paid the penalty for sin. Our sin. The name is Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you remember a time in your life when you had to call for help? One not too far away. Sunday afternoon. An event going on here at the church. Women all over the place having a shower, they called it. For Amy. Sam was over here down in the office and made a discovery, and he called on some people for help. So I get on the phone and I call for some more help. We needed help. Called John. Then John called Steve. And we had all this help down here. Then Steve got home. He needed the same kind of help, but he didn't call on us. He used his boys, I guess, or maybe Susan had to help him. Okay. But the help was. What was the big problem? Sewer line was stopped up. Well, that's a problem when you got a bunch of people around, right? But that's a vivid illustration that we all may have to deal with. Maybe not high-class illustration, but we have to call on people for help. And we had Sonia called on people for help last week and for yesterday. And she'd been calling and people came to her help. Maybe there is, give me some help with my homework. How many have to call a friend to say, I need help with this problem? We all can relate to that, can we not? Or a neighbor down the street called the other day and said, we need some help. We need some help. And do you know anybody that might help us? It's pretty evident that we all need help. It's also pretty common for us to know about calling on people for help. Preparing supper Wednesday. Let me get another personal illustration. Tommy called and Tommy was going to cook supper and we knew what he was going to cook. But Tommy had a death in the family and they wanted him to be a pallbearer. And I think the funeral had to be somewhere at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're going to cook supper for 50 to 70 people on Wednesday night, you need to be here at 4 o'clock. And I remembered that Becky Leonard had said, if you need some help in the kitchen, give me a call if something happens to Tommy. So I called Becky. I said, Becky, do you remember what you said the other day? And she may have said, I don't know what she remembered when I was posing the question. She said, well, what is it? Finally, and I said, well, we need help cooking supper. Would you come and fry 100 hamburgers or 100 plus or something? And she did. So we had to call on somebody for help. But as other people came in, we said, come on in here and help us. And Brenda came, and Brenda Levine, and she came in and helped. So, preparing supper, there's physical help, there's help with studies, there's help to understand some spiritual things. Help me understand this. And we might ask me, you might ask somebody else, you might ask your teacher. But it's as simple as calling for help. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord for salvation, he says it is. As simple as coming when called. Now, Matthew 11:28 tells us how important we are to God. And you know how important. We refer back to John the Baptist often. And John the Baptist, he was pretty important in the early days. He's the one that pointed to Jesus. He's the one that prepared the way to Jesus. And then Jesus says, even he who is least in the kingdom is greater than even John the Baptist. And then in 11:11, where he's talking about John the Baptist. I believe it's 11:11, but 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I even woke up this morning and had this thought about your mother calling you. And I remember a song that we were real country people when I was growing up, still pretty country. That's okay. I'm not unhappy that I was raised country. But we listened to, when we had a radio, we listened to country music. My sister would try to get us to listen to that other stuff, and it would always go back to country music. And one of the songs, it was a country gospel song, like Coming Home. And I looked it up even this morning, and Johnny Cash sang it once. It's like a song about a mother preparing supper and going out on the back porch. I guess it's the back porch because I always relate to that because we had one. And calling, okay, kids, it's supper's ready. Come on in. Do you remember that? Did you ever experience that? And it was as simple as eating supper was as simple as coming in and sitting down at the table, responding to the call. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, Jesus says. I will give you rest, salvation. And then it's as simple as receiving a gift. Some people have trouble receiving a gift. I grew up in that society that even when you had worked for somebody and they started to pay you your pay for your work, your salary, your wages, you would kind of say, well, that's okay. But if they didn't, if they took you serious, you were kind of really upset. You'd say, well, it's not that okay, you know. But you'd say, oh, that'll be okay. It's kind of like when they came to visit in the afternoon, the evening, and then they would start home, and somebody would say, my stepdad had said it over and over and over, why don't y'all just spend the night? And he was hoping they didn't spend the night, or my mother was hoping they didn't spend the night. If they'd ever said, okay, we think we will, they said, what are we going to do? And sometimes it's, y'all come and eat supper with us, and we're hoping. They say, no, I've already eaten or something. But it's kind of a societal thing to do that, I guess. Well, do we have trouble receiving gifts? I still have a little trouble receiving gifts. I get Kim to put my preacher pay in an envelope, lay it on the desk, so I won't have to go and take it from her. You know, somewhere it says in the Bible you're not supposed to preach for a dirty looper. And a man quoted me that once. And I told him then, I said, as little as I get. At that time, it was as little as I got. I said, it's not dirty, friend. I earned it all, you know. So I had one of those quick answers. Things have changed. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for doing it. But anyhow, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. It's not wages. We haven't worked for it. Move on. It's as simple as drinking water. How many of you have taken a drink of water this morning? Did you drink a whole bottle of water? Maybe so. We've had some water. We've had some water, some coffee. It's as simple as drinking coffee. Now, some people,
That coffee tastes awful, don't it? Why do we keep on drinking it tonight?
Tastes terrible. Wakes us up, I guess. But it's as simple as drinking water. And Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. Whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Thanks be to God. Simple as we taking a drink of water. How many has ever been really thirsty? And I got thirsty yesterday, I thought, but I hadn't gone over maybe an hour without something. So they went in and got me a cold drink, and that didn't satisfy, and then I got a bottle of water. I said, I need some water. This was about time we were cleaning up yesterday. And one man had been drenched in water all day, and Roger had, but that still is not like a drink of water, right? But salvation is as simple as drinking water. Whoever drinks the water will never thirst. It will become the water that Jesus gives becomes wells up into us the eternal life. It's as simple as eating bread. How many of you have eaten any bread today? I haven't eaten any bread yet, but I'm going to during the Sunday school hour. Who else has not eaten any bread? A lot of us don't eat breakfast then, do we? Especially before we come to church. Nothing wrong with that. Why don't we eat breakfast? I eat breakfast every other morning, or a little bit. The bread of God is who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If we take Jesus into our life. Not physically, but spiritually. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He gave his flesh on the cross. We receive him through belief. And it's as simple as believing God. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. And then back to Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And that believing and calling, I see it as being so connected one to another. Because we won't call on that which we do not believe. Is that right? If we don't believe it, we won't call. Everyone who believes has eternal life. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Many people stumble at the simplicity of salvation. They want to have some wonderful experience. Or they want to have some shock in their body. And I've heard people talk about they want to have an experience like the Apostle Paul. Well, that was Paul's experience. He needed that. God couldn't get his attention or didn't get his attention any other way. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 9. Read about it. Paul's experience. But don't think that you have to have the same experience that Paul had. Don't think that anyone else has to have the same experience. I've heard people talk about somebody came to the altar and they'd be talking about them. And they'd say he or she really had a conversion experience. There were tears flowing from their eyes. Well, you know, some people just cry easily. And that is really no indication that they're truly saved. It's their faith. It's good to shed a tear. Nothing wrong with it. I think it kind of flushes out the spirit. And it's so simple, it's simply up to each individual. It's up to you. And it's up to that person that you witnessed to. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for salvation. And thank you, Lord, that you didn't make it difficult. And help us to quit thinking it's got to be difficult. Lord, only as you reveal it to us will we really believe it. Lord, that one person, maybe those many that just today come to realize that they need to just quit trying to earn their salvation, to put their faith in you. We pray for that person to know salvation this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as I am. Become that way. Don't expect God to leave you that way. Don't expect Jesus to leave you that way. He'll change you. He'll make a new being out of you. New creature. New creation. We are called. Just as I am. The first and the last answer.
Lord, we humbly say, thank you. And Lord, we ask for your direction that we might be a witness to someone who does not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear friends, I am not writing to give you a new commandment. It is the same one that you were first given. if we claim to be in. Children, parents, don't love the world. Children, this is the last hour. You heard that the enemy...